Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Why Am I So Happy? Your host, Paula Vale, here, also the host of Choices, Finding Your Joy on WBTVN Television, the first all-women's broadcast television network. I am so happy to share with you today just a fascinating woman and doing so much to make changes in the world. Please let me share with you today. I'm happy to have with us Frankie Picasso. She is a social activist and impact entrepreneur whose focus is on creating change on a global level. And after being a radio host for years, Frankie founded the Good Radio Network, a socially conscious radio network where radio actually does a world of good as a vehicle that would allow her the greatest potential for positive influence and effect. Frankie Picasso is a best-selling author and social impact artist who happened to be the first female kickboxing promoter in the world who one time managed a 12-time world kickboxing champion. I mean, you have just done so much, Frankie. I'm just so excited to chat with you today. You're fascinating. Welcome, honey.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Paula. You just radiate happiness and positive spirit. It's like it jumps out of the airwaves. I'm sure everybody feels it.
I love it. I love it. We're just going to send so much awesome energy out today, aren't we, Frankie?
Yeah.
I love it. It's so great. Well, let's begin with a bit of your history and kind of what led you to where you're at today. And then we'll talk about the Good Radio Network. How's that sound?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, how do you get from, you know, kickboxing to social impact? It's crazy. I have always loved change. And ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be everything. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be on the radio. I wanted to, you know, be a journalist. And I wanted to, you know, I just wanted. I actually had a nickname, Iwana.
I love it.
And I believed I could do everything, and I had a wonderful dad who told me that even if I'm a girl, it doesn't matter, I can be anything I want. And I believed him because he never lied to me. So I had a passion for horses, I had a passion for animals, and for injustice. I really, you know, those are things that really drive me. Freedom is my number one value, I think. So my dad had promised me a horse when I was 10. And so he came through, mm-hmm. but we had to buy a farm. So we would drive everywhere. And
Placed down the horse.
It was so great. Yeah, it was just a dream for me because I had, you know, horses, cows, and dogs hanging around me, and it was perfect. We lived in Toronto, Canada at the time. And then my dad was transferred to Louisville, Kentucky. So I went to high school in Louisville, and that was a very strange experience because when I got there, it was the first year of desegregation. So I was coming from Canada. We didn't really have any racial divide. But when I got to Kentucky, it was like a big thing. And I went to a high school of 3,000 coming out of a private school of maybe, you know, 10 to a class. I had 200 now in my class. And it was pretty crazy. So I spent a lot of time in a dark room and just doing photography and not really enjoying high school that much. But then I got out of there early and I went to university in St. Louis and I studied photojournalism, and that was, you know, another passion of mine, photography and journalism, and I loved it. But I came back to Canada and did something totally different because that's all about me, change. Somebody dared me that I couldn't do a job. It was it was an insurance. He was a life insurance. And you know, he goes, I bet you could never do that. And I'm like, oh, I could probably do it with my hands tied behind my back. So I took the course and I wrote the exams and I went out and I sold life insurance for a little bit. And I outsold all of these guys. And the boss called me and he said, listen, he goes, you have to sell less because the guys are getting upset. And I said, no, they have to sell more.
I love it. I love it.
Oh. And I mean, I didn't do it for too long. I did it just to prove the point that I could.
Yeah.
And because, you know, in my head, and I'm a coach too, but in my head, I always tell, you know, my clients that whatever, and it really is true that, you know, that Napoleon Hill saying, what you conceive, you can achieve. If I believe in my head I can do something, I can do it. And it doesn't matter if I have the education for it or whatever. Like, it's just there, and I go, yep, I can do that. And that's how you do things. So people always go, well, how do you do things? Well, you change your thought. That's really as simple as that. That's how you do things that are different from what you're normally doing. So I became a makeup artist for a while, and because I love cosmetics. I love makeup. Oh. And that's crazy, right? I mean, like, just everything. And I ended up working in the boxing industry. And, I was in boxing. And then how I got to handle Paul was a friend. I was also a drummer. And we practiced in the same recording studio. And a common friend said, you know, go see Frankie because he wanted another title fight. And he didn't have his management anymore. So he came to see me. And I asked the guys that I was working with in at Traffic Boxing if they wanted to take on a kickboxing. And they said no, they were purist boxers. They had no interest in it. And I said, well, I've never seen a kickboxing fight, but take me to a fight and I'll let you know. So we went to the fight, and it was so much energy, so much fun. And I'm like, yep, I'll do it. And so that's what I did. And it was the first time, like, I mean, that was like a major fight where I had to write for TV and script it and get the TV contracts and all of the advertising. And I matchmaked all the fights. I got fighters from around the world. I got ISK to, you know, approve it. So it was like a really big deal. And, you know, in my head, hey, I can do this. And I did it. And it was great. And my kids asked me never to do it again because – I was just 24 hours a day working, but there you go. And right after that, after the fight ended, I got a very strange phone call from the government asking me if I could come in and do an event for them. It was a justice showcase. And I go, yeah, I can do that. So I ended up being hired by the government of Ontario for a number of years until I got to a position that was called Special Advisor for Spirit. And I was handpicked by the Deputy Secretary of Cabinet to run a project of hers that would improve the morale of the 60,000 public servants, but not give them any money, and just make them feel like loved again. So I did that until I had a motorcycle accident where I ended up in the hospital for 6 months and lost everything. My job, I got divorced, the band came, took away their thing, and like just everything, major loss all the way around, and reinvented again.
Wow. And that was a major accident, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a major accident.
It was a long recoup.
Oh. Yep.
You just have a fascinating story, Frankie. So
a little boring.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's just about embracing change. And I if you're blessed to know what you want to be and do in this world, you're so lucky.
Yes.
But at the same time, for those of us who don't know what we want, I just go with the flow. And I figure everything is going to give me tools in my toolbox.
Yes.
And when the time is right, all those skills are going to come together and help me in some way, shape, or form. And they generally do.
But we are so alike, Frankie. I love it. Oh my gosh, energy sister. That is so fun.
Yeah.
I went to college to be an accountant and ended up buying the restaurant I was working in, and then
ended up
doing radio and TV. We never know, and really it's been great doing what I never thought I would.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's so much fun. And,
the
universe has a way of putting you where you're supposed to be. So here we are.
It's so fun. So tell me, what was the prompt to start the Good Radio Network? Where did that stem from?
Well, I'd been doing my radio show Mission Unstoppable. I'd done like 7 different shows, but I had Mission Unstoppable was my flagship show, and I'd done it for about, I think, 7 years at that point. And I was getting a little jaded, a little tired of it. And I thought, why am I promoting all these people? I'm not getting anything from it. Like, I'm helping them, but I'm not really helping myself. And not that I had to help myself, but I thought, no, I'm kind of tired of this. I'm just going to take a little hiatus and see what, the universe tells me I'm supposed to do with it. Because I still want to do radio, but I don't want to do that right now. So I meditated for about a year, and I got this voice, and it was like, I want you to go and find people who are changing the world. And I want you to prove that even one person can make a difference. And I'm like, I like that.
Oh,
I like that. So, okay, I said, I wanted to be a positive, you know, change and positive influence. And I wanted to start a radio station where it was talk radio, but it was, you know, had social impact. It was not going to be a talking head any longer. It was going to be radio that actually made a difference, where radio did good in the world, and be it monetarily by, you know, funding things or in kind advertising for people or helping nonprofits get, you know, get more supporters, whatever it was. So I started to look for these people, and it was going to be called I Changed the World, I think. And it blossomed into, you know, the Good Radio Network, and the vision for that was just exploded. So now I'm bringing hosts on and people who, you know, I want to have positive programming. I want to make sure that we're positioned so that we can help the people who need our assistance in any way, shape, or form that comes about for them, and just making sure that, you know, the right projects and the right we're in the right place at the right time for them. And I love it because I just think it's so exciting. You know, people are complaining all the time about what they can do and, you know, why doesn't somebody do something and I'm like, but you're a somebody and you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a somebody and I can do something. So if all the somebodies did something, then stuff would get done, right?
Yes.
So if we all stood up and just did our little part, it's amazing. It doesn't take a lot. It really doesn't. But the saying, like, you know, many hands makes for light work, and it's true. So if everybody just came together and in whatever their passion leads them to help other people, mm-hmm. or help, you know, the environment, or like today I had this amazing show where I interviewed two biologists, conservationists, who want to make sure that the two animals that they're looking after, which are very, very close to extinction, don't go out on their watch. Like, it's not going to be on their watch that, you know, we lose these beautiful animals from the planet. So it's so important to me that word gets out,
that,
you know, we need to help and support these people. They're doing life's work, God's work, really,
yes.
You know, when you think about it. And we need to be there to support it. And it's so easy not to know about it if you're not in that world. But,
yes.
You know, our job is really to hold that mirror up and go, hey, look over here. This needs our attention, and we can help them too. So that's I kind of see myself as a conductor almost, you know, like this shining lights here and there. Like, this is where we're going to look today.
Oh, I am so touched. That is so beautiful. So your venue of your shows vary from, let's say, animals to the planet to people. Is that
correct?
Yeah,
I mean, I had a director. I've got two shows that I host myself.
Mm-hmm.
One is Mission Unstoppable, which are about people who have been unstoppable in their lives, and whether they've overcome great tragedy, hardship, or, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be negative things. Or Frankie Sense and More, which is more a variety show, and it's more aligned with the United Nations global goals. So that's kind of where I have more nonprofits and people who are doing, like, really good things in the world. And, like, I had a movie director a couple of weeks ago who got an award from the city of Los Angeles for a historical award for doing this amazing documentary on Boyle Heights, which is a really exciting, you know, city, and how, because they're low income, that the city just thinks that they can just keep throwing garbage at them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the five interchanges right there in their city, and these kids go to school and are smogged out. Well, the sad part was that it's an amazing documentary. As I said, she got an award from the city, and the library can't afford to even show it. They can't afford to buy it and show it. And I'm like, well, how sad is that? They got three libraries. So, you know, right then I go, I'm going to buy you guys that documentary. And I bought the documentary for them. But, you know, Frankie can't keep giving money out of her pocket. I need to have, you know, help from other people too to do that. So, because, you know, there wouldn't be food on my table either. So I think that right now I'm positioned that we need, you know, we need sponsors and advertisers and people who maybe have corporate responsibility programs, or who maybe really love the idea of helping other people, to step forward and become ambassadors of good. And that's, you know, the next iteration for the Good Radio.
Yes. Yes, yes, I love it.
Yeah,
please. Because
I think we all can do it. We can do it.
We can.
You don't know what you don't know. And so my job is to keep finding those people that you don't know about.
Oh, you are an angel. You are an angel, Frankie. Tell the listeners how they can connect and listen to your shows. Please share with them where they can go.
Thank you. Well, you can go to thegoodradionetwork.com, and all of my shows are on there, thegoodradionetwork.com. It's very simple. My shows are live on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right now, they're hosted at TogiNet. I broadcast from TogiNet.com, and they're podcast to the Good Radio Network. Soon we'll be broadcasting from the Good Radio itself, mm-hmm. but there's no need to do that yet.
Mm-hmm. And I just have to put out there to anyone listening, oh my gosh, anything you're thinking of as far as from listening to the show and sharing it with others to contributing to some of these fantastic sources that are doing good and helping. Oh my gosh, let's just all come together. I love that.
Yeah.
Make a difference.
You know,
world.
Even in America, like, you know, I've done shows on you know, slavery and children being kidnapped and forced into sex slavery. And that happens right here in our country. You know, we're in your country. I'm in Canada. But I mean, it happens here too. I'm not going to point a finger. So, I mean, all of these things are around us, but either we're just too busy or we have a blind eye or they're just not in our you know, in front of our eyes or, you know, around us. So, you know, people, that's the beautiful part of my job is that I get to showcase all of that and say, hey, wake up.
Yeah,
right
so
here.
Much of that really isn't talked about, Frankie.
No.
No. Yeah.
And even, you know, what really got me, one of the shows I did was on ugly fruits and vegetables.
Oh.
And ugly, you don't think about it, but, you know, the store throws out hundreds of pounds of ugly fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. They won't even accept it and put it on their shelves, but they won't give it to people either who need the food. Like, they just throw it in the garbage. And so, you know, I met a gentleman who makes sure that he goes and he picks up all that food and he distributes it because there's nothing wrong with that food.
No.
It might have a dent or a bruise or whatever, but people will cut that up and they'll cut it out and you can certainly eat it and they have a lot of fun with it. But, you know, with so many people malnourished and so many people starving, to throw that out, it's unconscionable.
Yes. So, okay, here's a question, Frankie. Is there something that we can do, like myself in Washington State, in my community, is there something I can do, go to grocery stores and say, hey, can I pick up your ugly fruit and vegetables and then work with, and I already have connections at some of the homeless shelters because I've gone there and offered Reiki to people.
Well, you had the restaurant connection too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and the restaurant connection. Is that something that we all can do? Do you
Absolutely. I think that I would contact a grocery, the manager of the fruit and vegetable department and say, you know, if you're not putting this out, I have a need for it. I can take it to the church. I can take it to the homeless shelter. I can, you know, we can put on cooking demonstrations with it and you can give it out for free, whatever it is. Just don't throw it out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is a fantastic idea. I'm going to share that on my website and with all my connections. And just think, if people all over jumped into that, the people that we could feed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so sorry about this.
That's okay, honey.
Get this.
It's all good.
I don't know how to.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. Everybody can do that. And it's simple and it's easy. And so there's so many things that each of us can do in our own community to change the world. And, you know, your world is your block where you live, your neighborhood, even,
that's
world.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be the bigger world, right? It could just be the small world. And it's, we can all do something.
That is a great example. And any other things along that line you'd like to throw out to us? Any ideas you'd like to share on this kind of topic?
Oh, wow. I just got thrown here for a minute. Let me think. What else can we do? You know, there was a wonderful story about some kids who were on their way to school. And every morning they passed this house. And there was a woman, an elderly woman, who sat in the window. And she waved to these kids. And they looked forward to her waving. It was kind of like she was the neighborhood watch or whatever. But she waved. And one day she wasn't there. And the kids got worried. because they knew she was a little bit older, and they went to their teacher and they said, you know, what should we do? And she said, well, let's go knock on her door. And if something had happened, she would become ill or something like that. But you know what? Like, they all rallied around and they brought her soup and they brought her food and they helped her do some chores, whatever. I think her husband, maybe even her husband had passed away, something like that. But that's something that, you know, they had looked forward to her just waving, because it looked like, you know, somebody cares about me. Somebody notices me every day. They look out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And then
so many kids go to school without, you know, parents being home, or coming home without a parent being home. It's kind of nice to know that you have an adult or somebody who could, you know, you could run to or look out for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's so much homelessness now. And I have a friend who's a teacher at a school in Tacoma, and most of her students are from homeless families. And a lot of their meals are when they're in school. So summer, when the kids are out of school, it's really a hardship on those kids.
It is. Yeah. So there's, you know, these kids could be having those, you know, fruits and vegetables and you know, figure out how they can cook those. There's, I'll tell you another quick story if you want to hear it.
Yes.
There's a girl from Canada who went on Mercy Ships, which is a boat that services the world's poorest of the poor, gives them free health care. And they usually pull into a port like Mozambique or someplace, you know, in the third world. And she was in Canada, she looked after sterilization in hospitals. So when she went there, she was astounded at you know, the state of the hospital operating rooms and how some of the equipment hadn't even been cleaned for 3 months, and masks that went over people's faces for anesthetic, all this kind of stuff. So she figured out a way that they could sterilize, because they don't always have electricity. And she came back and she retrofitted pressure cookers so that they could go over a wood fire and they could be used to sterilize things, you know, the instruments, so that nobody ever had to, you know, at least get sepsis from having an operation. And so, you know what, when we think about the stuff, we can be inventive and creative and innovative, and it just works like a charm. And they, you know, she sends them all over the world now.
Oh,
to these third world that can't afford to, you know, clean, or show them, you know, our practices. You volunteer, show people our practices. If you're an expert at something, you know, teach it.
Yes. Yes. I love it. And, you know, if we come together and share ideas, we can be creative as well.
Very. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, people get charged by brainstorming sessions and they go, oh, you know what? We could do this. And you know what? You can.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. This is so fantastic, Frankie. This is so fantastic. I love it. Well, we are going to pop out for a break, everyone, but Frankie and I will be right back. Thank you. Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. This is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hi. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just popping in, I am here today with Frankie Picasso. And oh my gosh, this is just so fun and so fascinating. She is just an amazing author and radio host and so much more. But I want to share one of those much mores right now. Let's start with that. Frankie, I understand that you are an artist and you paint pets. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
I love it.
You can actually, I changed my name to Paw Casso now.
Okay. Oh, cute.
So, yeah. So I paint, I paint, and I just really like to paint pets. I love animals, as I said earlier, and it's just fun to paint people's animals. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to concentrate on that because I enjoy it. And the reason I'm doing it is for, again, for social impact. So my paintings go, they started off painting for cleft palate surgery through Mercy Ships. So I could purchase surgery for a child, you know, who would come to see them. And it costs $250 to get that surgery. And it's about a 45-minute surgery, but it's life-changing surgery because the moms, you know, they worry about their kids because, A, they can't eat, they're malnourished, but mostly because, you know, maybe they won't be able to get a job or get a wife or a husband because of, you know, the hole in their face, the disfigurement. And so this is a surgery that's pretty common, pretty easy to do, and just is so life-altering because now they look like everybody else. And they're allowed to come back into the village. They're allowed to, you know, sit with the other moms and the other kids. So it's just brilliant. So that's why I paint for that. And I also take the proceeds, you know, to pay for shelters or give money to shelters and rescues and sanctuaries. So I foster donkeys.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And I recently, you know, interviewed a woman who has an exotic animal sanctuary. She has lions, tigers, and bears in California.
Oh.
And so, you know, directing some money towards them as well now and a primate sanctuary in Canada. Because these aren't meant to be pets. You know, these are wild animals, and they need to be treated like wild animals with the respect of a wild animal. But there is one little monkey who paints, too.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's really, really cute. But I just like to paint. I like to paint pets, so it's fun to do it, and it's fun to be able to use the money from a custom painting to do some good with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So share with us. So anyone listening today, they can contact you. And
they can contact me at
FrankiePaintsPets. Okay.
The website is really Original Picasso Pet Paintings, but I made it Frankie Paints Pets because it's really easy. If you just put that in your web browser, it'll take you right to that website. And I just need some photographs. I'll paint your pet from some photographs, and you can just tell me which pose you like the best, and I can put in a background that doesn't exist or just do a portrait background. Usually I just have the two sizes, 16 by 20 and 18 by 24. And, you know, they're on canvas. It could be a memoriam for a pet who's already passed on, which some of these are. Could be for a new pet. Could be a gift for, you know, somebody who loves their pet so much, their pet child. And I have a friend who has five of them.
I love it. I love it.
She's got so many dogs.
Oh, she's got me beat. I only have four.
didn't have them all at the same time. Unfortunately, she just had two pass away, and they're on my website. But she just got another one, and it's so cute. So,
I love it.
Yeah. It's just really, you know, it's fun, and it's loving. I've got birds and horses and monkeys and whatever you got. I'll do it.
I love it. I love it. Oh, I love your compassion for the animals. It's the best. We love our animals. And I love you mentioned your horse. I had a horse when I was young, and she was like my best friend. I would knit her blankets, and there's nothing like the animals. That is so fun. That is so fun. And I'm thinking gifts. Oh, my gosh, what great gifts that could be.
It's a
someone,
great gift,
for
you know.
Christmas
people,
present.
People love it, and it's, you know, I'm not a photographic painter; I'm an impressionist painter.
Yeah.
But the spirit comes through, you know. And actually, the last one I did, the guy said to me, "He goes, my God, he goes, you captured his soul."
Oh.
I'm like, and you know what? I never even met the dog, right?
Oh.
But how amazing is that?
Yes.
But I did animal communication.
Oh, awesome.
I studied it. I love it. Yeah.
Awesome. And, isn't it fun? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you take it too?
Yeah. I've taken it, plus I have a couple good friends that are animal communicators. So, yeah, yeah. I talk to all the kids on a regular basis.
So, it's, you know, maybe best. That's it. Maybe that's why, mm-hmm. you know, you get right to the heart of them, but I just love it.
And it's so fun. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, let's also, Frankie, I would love to have you talk about your book, Midlife Mojo. No
sure.
Allowed,
Midlife Mojo came out of after the hospital. When I was in the hospital for 6 months after my motorcycle accident. And I told you I suffered a bunch of losses. I had been on the Masters Senior Dragon Boat team. I had been a drummer in a band, and I had my kids and my marriage and my fantastic job, and all of it went away. Everything. All I had left was me. I had my kids, but that was it. And after suffering all that loss, it's kind of like you're trying to figure out, who am I again, and what mm-hmm. am I supposed to do with my life? And I don't know anything. So it's kind of, I went through what, you know, they refer to as that dark night of the soul, and, you know, struggled for a little bit, but then what came out of it was, I thought, yeah, you know what, how to change your life in midlife, because so many of us find ourselves in midlife. And I realized at the time that the universe had been talking to it and said, you know, they wanted something from me. And I kind of knew that it wanted something, but I didn't know what it wanted. And I'm like, I'm trying to hear you, but I'm. So it stopped me. It stopped me so I could listen. And that book, that Midlife Mojo book, was a, I'll be honest, it was a total download. I don't even know if I wrote it.
Wow.
But it came out. It came out in 6 weeks. And when I read it, I'm like, holy crap, I'm ever good.
Yeah.
But I really don't think it was me. But it is about, it's a prescription for change, because so many people in midlife find themselves looking for their authentic self. And it's like, you know, you're 40 or 45 or 50 or whatever age you are in midlife when it hits you, and you know, you go, well, I can look backward for the last 40 years, but I know I'm going to have like 30 or 40 years going forward. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with it? Because I'm not happy. And so we need to take stock if you're not happy and say, what is it I'm not happy about? Is it my job? Is it, you know, would I have the same job? Would I have the same marriage? Would I have the same friends? Would I live in the same house? What, you know, what would I do? Right.
Yes.
So, it's about taking stock, and then I give you the actual prescription how to move forward and change your life, and actually even to make choices. And I have in the book, it's funny, one chapter says, I want you to paint my bedroom, and here are the color choices, you know, two colors, and send them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so afraid to choose, right? And I go, it's paint. I can repaint it. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what color you choose. I'll do it, right?
Yeah.
It's just paint. So it's really funny how afraid of, you know, their vanilla, the vanilla mm-hmm. existence. And but try Jamocha almond fudge, or try coconut, or try whatever flavor, strawberry. You don't have to stay in the vanilla world. And, you know, when we look at the explorers who went out, the Columbuses and you know, the Marco Polos of the world who brought us pasta and ice cream and all of that great stuff, we wouldn't have it if they didn't
yes.
do it, if they didn't go,
yes.
gee, I wonder what's out there. And so I look at the Chinese, you know, they have a symbol, two symbols for change. And one is change for change, and one is danger, and the other is opportunity. So when you have the opportunity to change your life, you know, you have to leave that comfort zone, because the danger, you know, for people is really in that, out of that comfort zone.
Yes.
But if you stay where you are, you'll never
You're right.
experience anything.
You're
right.
And so many times something negative, it can make such changes in your life and give you such different viewpoints, and it can open a door.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to be open to those opportunities. One, I have what I call Frankieisms. And so one of my Frankieisms is that opportunities aren't lost. They're not actioned upon. So I do believe that they come to all of us, and many people just pass them by. And I can explain how that happens, because, or prove it, actually.
Yes.
You know, you're watching a TV commercial, and you go, I thought of that. I thought about that 10 years ago. Right? I invented that myself. But you didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that we all can dip into that. I call it the world consciousness pool of ideas. and we all dip into it, and we can all come out with the same idea, but only one person's going to act on it.
Wow.
And that's that opportunity. So that opportunity came to everybody. It's open to all of us, but not everybody's going to do something with it.
Mm-hmm. And so really that's the big difference is when things come to us, whether we act upon it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the opportunity, people, I never get an opportunity. Yeah, you get lots of opportunities. You just don't recognize them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. You are so fun.
Oh, thank you, Paula.
I love it.
You're just too kind.
Well, tell us about what you have coming out in September. Is it I bared my chest?
I'm so excited. Thank you for asking me about that because I'm so excited about it. It's an anthology. I'm a co-lead on an anthology called I Bared My Chest, 21 Unstoppable Women Dig for Bold and Bear Their Naked Truth. I did a creative summit with a woman called Alex Akorji, and Alex is a Nigerian actress and author and radio host and just unbelievable creative spirit. And we had so much fun at this creative summit that we didn't want the fun to stop. And so we decided that we would blend our two brands. My brand's Unstoppable and hers is Naked, as a Naked Truth. And we decided to invite some women to join us in this venture. Well, it ended up, like, without even like real thought put into it, that we now have a book with 21 women from 16 through 60. They're on, you know, Africa, India, Australia, South America, Europe, Canada, U.S. They have different religions. They're Muslims, Catholics, Jews, non-atheists. They're, you know, they're black, white, brown. They're different sexual orientations. It's just so filled with diversity and love. It's just absolutely incredible. And we ask them all the same question. And we ask them to answer these questions, not like question answer, but just to put it into a narrative as if it's their journal, as if they're talking to their best friend. What do you want to say to your best friend? Because we didn't want anyone to be offer advice as I'm an expert. We wanted it to be, oh, I see how your life was. My life's like that too. Oh, look how you got out of it. Oh, I can maybe follow you in your footsteps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see that. And that's what we wanted. I kept saying, I don't want you to be the best writer in the world on this. I want you to be an honest writer. I want you to tell the truth. And the deeper people dug, the better their chapter was and is. And it's going to be unbelievable. So out of that, like originally Alex and I said, we want to write this book and we want to be able to give $1 million to charity. And we want to be able to do it so that it gives people freedom. So we want people to have freedom for education. We want people to have freedom to speak, freedom against violence, freedom to say what they want, freedom to, you know, all kinds of freedoms in the world. So now we're going to build a global foundation instead. And we're going to give the money too, but we're going to build a global foundation where we can put the money in and have chapters worldwide and have people, ambassadors, look after, you know, different segments around the world and the different populations and the different people that need it. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, that is so exciting. That's going to be so fun.
It's going to be real fun. And then on the website, we're going to put, it's just being tweaked right now, so I can't give it to you, but we're going to put the questions in there so everybody can answer those questions. And we're going to put them up too. So more I Bared My Chest people and ladies and men and whoever wants to do it. So we can read more stories, and we're having people do videos. We've been doing these bold, you know, I'm bold, I'm ballsy, I'm brave videos, you know, and you can choose which one do you want to be. And it's exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. I love it. I love it. You have so much positivity and so many great things that you're putting out in the world, Frankie.
Thank you, Paula.
So fantastic.
Well, you know, you found me, and, you know, like attracts like, and so I know that you're doing it in a major scale yourself. Yeah.
I'm loving it. We were so meant to connect.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I can feel that.
So what do you have, what are you thinking for the future? You have all of this going on. Do you have anything in front of you that you're thinking about creating?
Good question. I'm always thinking about creating things.
Yeah.
I think really for me, the next step will be to grow the Good Radio so that it really has its own foundation, and that there's money going through that foundation, and that broadcasters come and will be able to be a real station, a real radio station, and broadcast from it, but really just have the right people there who really are on that mission with me to change radio to a vehicle of social change.
Yes.
And, you know, we putting our money where our mouth is, not, you know, just talking about stuff, but you have to do it. And I think that would be so exciting for me.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I want to be in your support group. Yes, it's exciting. I just can't thank you enough for all you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Gosh, I love it. So, and also, are you still coaching or offering hypnotherapy or Reiki?
Yeah, I coach part time.
Mm-hmm.
I coach part time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always going to be a coach. You know, coaching's in my heart. I think it's who I am. But I'm coaching part time, and if it's the right, you know, client, and I actually do coach. I do I call it pro bono coaching on Fiverr for people who can't afford coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I do it on there for, you know, they pay $4 or whatever, and they get some problems helped. But yeah, I'm not doing it in a big way, and I'm not doing hypnotherapy any longer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not doing my Reiki anymore mm-hmm. either, except to, you know, to people who I send it to, because they need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you just can't pull yourself apart too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep the focus where your passion lies, and that's
right.
where it lies now.
Right. And with what you're doing with the radio shows, the books, you can do so much in such huge numbers.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like, you know, you're going from one to one
mm-hmm.
to one to a million.
Exactly.
And that's where the big difference is, and that's where the influence is. And
exactly.
that's how you get to be, you know, more influential and hopefully encourage more people to join me on this path. Join
yes.
me and going, yeah, I believe Frankie, and I believe that, you know, I can change the world too. So I'm going to join her in that. And that's all it takes. You know, Al Gore, you know, has his climate reality project, and I like, sign me up. Because again, we can all sign up for that. Like, who doesn't want to be a part of that and help, you know, change the climate? They need a few dollars to do that, and it makes so much sense. And so, you know, I don't want to get political on you, but with Trump
right.
pulling out of, you know, that accord,
yes.
we have to do more than ever now
yes.
is stand up and go, no, we're still going to look after the environment. We're still
yes.
going to do it, because you know what? Our survival counts on it. And
yeah,
our,
it does.
We're both grandmothers, and
it
we both
does.
Want our grandchildren to have a world that they can breathe in.
Our grandchildren are counting on us. We can't
they
let
are.
Them down. I agree.
Yeah. So that's something else that, you know, if people are interested, you can take their leadership course. You can help donate money to them. You can join them and talk, because all they want is people who to talk about it. Just talk about the Climate Reality Project. Tell people why it's so important, and they'll teach you how to do that. And I think, you know, that's something each of us can do too.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Gosh. With about 5 minutes left in the show, Frankie, what last words would you like to share with everyone? What would you really like them to focus on today or think about as they leave the show today?
I guess think about those people you admire the most, and think about why you admire them. And maybe, you know, see how you could emulate them, good behavior and changing your who you are and how you act in the world. Modeling is a really great way to do that. And so, you know, in the book New Life Mojo, I talk about how fake it till you make it. And fake it till you make it doesn't mean to be a false person. It means to walk, talk, act as if you are that thing that you want to be. So if, you know, you want to be a world changer or social entrepreneur or anything like that, find a way to do that. Emulate the people who do it. You know, if you need a coach or need to talk to Paula or need to talk to, you know, a Frankie or whoever it is in the world to help you get there, great. You know, yes. That's why they do what they do, to help people change their lives. And everybody can change their life if they want to. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to stay stuck. And I think that's really important because, you know, you really people, oh, I couldn't. But yeah, right. I know you can.
Yes.
I know it because I've seen it. So believe us.
Any advice for anyone listening today that's thinking, oh, my gosh, that is so me. I really want to make a change, but, you know, I have doubt. I have fear. Can I really do it? Any advice for them, you know, on taking that first step?
Yeah. Again, you know what? Reach out to somebody who you admire and ask them to help you. Or just understand that fear is, you know, a fantasized experience appearing real. Mm-hmm. It's not real. Fear isn't real. And I know it hurts to tell people.
I love that.
You know, yeah. So, you know, try it. Don't try it. Do it. Because I say trying is lying. Trying is like putting your toe in the water and not really jumping in. So trying is lying. If you want to do something, you commit to it. And so commit to making, you know, a change for yourself. And it's always the first step that's the hardest, because after you've done it, you always look back and go and laugh at yourself and go, geez, I wonder why I did that, or why I waited so long, or why I didn't do it. It's really quite funny. You know, I know people who are, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old who just started to drive, and they go, why did I wait so long? Yeah, what was I afraid of, really? And so, you know, just understand that whatever fear that you have, whatever a voice is coming up in your head, whatever message is going on inside there, it's not you. Mm-hmm. It's something that was projected in your subconscious, and it's not true. Yes. And the subconscious doesn't know right from wrong, so it doesn't care if it's lying to you. It's just whatever message got put in there over and over and over, it's going to repeat back to you. So you can take that and say, okay, I don't like that one anymore, and I'm going to create a new go-to path, a new deer path. And as soon as that deer path, you know, the rut is as deep as the old rut that used to take you somewhere else, you're going to be thinking and feeling much differently. So you just have to practice the new thought all the time. And that's the best advice I can give you, really. Is to redirect your thought. Hear your thought and then redirect your thought to a more positive one.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. And I just, I am so excited to listen to your shows, Frankie.
Oh, thank you.
Just so
we have a lot of fun.
Inspired me today.
And I can't wait to have you on my show. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are such a dear. You are unbelievable.
Just, I am so happy we were meant to connect. And I'm so happy for the message of, you know, how all of us together can make a difference and, you know, share the information, share our amazing guests and connections and friends. Oh, this is just so
exciting.
Like,
if people just go through, you know, go online and just look at charities, go online and look at, you know, what people are doing in the world. And if one of those touches you, say, okay, that's who I'm going to help. You know what? I'm going to call them. I'm going to call Amnesty International. I'm going to call War Child. I'm going to call, you know, whoever it is that touches your heart, Ugly Fruits and Vegetables, and say, how can I help?
Yes.
And I want to stand up.
One example, I through a connection, met a wonderful woman with lovinghearts.org, and I sponsor some teenagers in South Africa.
Oh, nice.
$20 a month allows them to finish school, allows them to
great.
Go to school. Some of them,
school is
their
so
mothers
important.
Make $20 in a month. And so, you know, I get these letters, and so I made a big step, and I'm going to go there next February, and I'm going to meet these students.
Fantastic. But, how exciting.
You know, what $20 can do. You know,
I know.
In the U.S. and in other countries, you know, when you sit back and think about that, that's somebody's cup of coffee once a month, how it can change a life. Yeah.
I know. I sponsor three kids, too. And you know what? It's it's just something that I do, and we do it, and I love to do it, and why not? Because
so
we are two blasts over here, you know, we really are. And I get their letters too, and they're just so happy, and they're growing, and they're thriving, and you know, they tell me about what they like to do, and they like, you know, they like math, and they like, they want to be a doctor, and they want to do whatever, and they can. That's the thing, they can,
we give them hope.
But they need to have their education.
Mm-hmm.
They need it. The necessity.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, when you're a parent and you choose between food and school for a kid, like, that's not a choice.
Yes, I agree.
That's not a choice. I'm excited for you. What country do they live in? Do you know?
It's South Africa, Kenya, I think.
Oh,
where I'm going.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm really excited, and I can't wait. Oh, next year. Oh, Frankie, thank you so much. This has been so wonderful, and we will be chatting together again.
Absolutely.
So I'm really excited. And love, hugs, and blessings to you and to the audience. Love, hugs, and blessings. Everybody have a happy day. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
You are so welcome.